Last week we were studying out of the book of Nehemiah about the great revival that took place as the refugees from Babylon had returned to Jerusalem and began working on the walls, and they began to praise God and ask God for revival. One of the things that happened was the reading of the law. And if you remember the story of what we were studying last week, Nehemiah was the governor. Ezra was a man who just seemed to know what to say and exactly how to say it and when to speak. Great explanation of the Jewish law he had given to Artaxerxes Longimanus. And he was called to stand before the people as they had built a huge platform for Ezra and his associates to stand on. Ezra began to read from the law, and the people stood for a while, and then most commentators believe that then they had to sit. But for several hours, they read from Scripture on the Jewish New Year's Day. And it created a revival. It created an awakening among their minds that we serve a great God and a good God, and He wants more for us than we've ever had. And so they prayed and began to seek God, and they fasted, and they put away their sins, and they put away their false gods, and a mighty revival broke out. Well, that's the theme that I'm into this month, in the month of September and October, is revivalism. And the word revival itself kind of gives a connotation that you've once had this renewal of spirit and mind and soul that's been connected with God, but somehow you've either let go of it or you are not where you want to be and you want more. I was also last week trying to define the explanation of an awakening. And awakening is closely connected to revivalism. Awakening happens to people who are unconverted as well as people who are. And awakening is that inner conscious, the deep part of the mind that somehow been able to be reached by the power of the Holy Spirit. And suddenly the mind begins to assume that God has a plan, God has a desire, God has something for us, and we respond by saying, yes, I want that. I want it. God will give it to you. So that's kind of where we were last week in our study about revivalism. And I really wanted to build more along the idea. Well, if revival and awakening is so good, and if it's something we need, how do we obtain it? I mentioned to you that I Googled it, and some of you kind of snickered, and that's okay. We understand. We can't get it off of Craigslist and eBay, and one of my favorite stores is the Dollar Tree. They just don't sell revival. So if we're going to get revival, or if we are going to receive an awakening, we have to meet the one who's the source of that revival and awakening, and that is the Holy Spirit. And any time you meet the Holy Spirit, whether it be as an old acquaintance and an old friend, or as a brand new friend in Christ, it is a miracle. I cannot tell you all of the times that I've stood in a funeral setting and talked to the people about the promise of Scripture. I did do something this week that I've never even thought of doing, but I did it this week. Somehow I went down memory lane a little bit, and I wrote down the names of all my family members on my mother and daddy's side who have died, and I went to their funerals. These are the ones I could remember, and I haven't done Debbie's side yet. But on my side, those that I can remember, I'm at 54. Those are not not complete, because I know some, surely, that I just cannot remember. But the Holy Spirit has a specialty in bringing comfort and guidance, but the Holy Spirit also has another specialty, and that's in instructive ability. He wants to instruct and He wants to teach. And so we cannot have revival unless we have a connection, a friendship to the power of the Holy Spirit. Would you turn with me to a couple of texts this morning? Turn with me to our first text, which is Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. Some people identify with this at certain times in their life more than at other times. Matthew chapter 5, we have the Beatitudes here. And in verse 6 it says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." I read this same text last week, but I believe it. But there's a condition to this. It is only when you ask God and cry out to God in a great desire for His righteousness that He can give it to you. Now, sometimes we're a little confused about righteousness. Righteousness is right doing. But it also covers more than obedience. Righteousness covers the absolute grace and gift of God Almighty that provides the salvation for us. And the promise here is for those people who have this deep longing and searching to be filled with the righteousness of God, to have that eternal assurance that if they should die today, everything is right between them and Almighty God. I was preaching in a meeting, getting ready for about 6 weeks of evangelistic preaching. And it happened in this particular church that it was near a hospital. And during the message that day, I made an appeal. And the appeal was for the medical professionals who were there to use their time and their resources to help support the meetings. But more than that, to ask that God would give them a revival and a renewed commitment in their life. And as I gave the appeal, I just couldn't help it. I began to cry myself. It was 32 or 34 physicians came up and knelt down to pray. And I had the privilege to ask God to bless us in that meeting and to bless these men and women in their role of ministry in healthcare to support the work of God, that we could work together in trying to bring some type of harmony in a congregation of people and create an environment where people want what we have, so that people would begin to cry out to God, I want the righteousness of God. I'm hungry for it. God, will you give it to me? God, will you bless me? What a privilege. We had two meetings each night there for several weeks. It was a wonderful blessing of God. I'm asking you for the same thing. August was talking and referencing how that we're living near the end of time, and we have convictions about Bible prophecy, and those things are lining up to be fulfilled. If everything continues the way it's going, here we go again, but I'm going to say it. It means the Lord is coming soon. And somehow in all this religion and spirituality, and someday I'm going to preach on that, because there's a difference in being religious and being spiritual. They should complement each other, but some people are religious, but they're certainly not spiritual. But that's a topic for another day. As we move toward the end of time, it's the mission of the Holy Spirit, the the power of the Trinity to move us somehow into a preparation that's fit for heaven. And I just have this strong conviction that to have an awakening and that to have a revival is pleasing to God. And that's the reason that I'm so serious about what we're doing here beginning next Saturday night. I'm looking forward to my own spiritual growth. I've been praying for the last 3 weeks, and I'm not ashamed of it. I've been praying, God bless me. And God is doing it. I want God to bless you. We talked about this last week. Some of you are probably thinking, well, how can God bless me? All I know is that God has the ability, and He's so good at being God. He has the ability to prioritize, and he has the ability to transfer what He prioritizes from His throne into your mind so that what's important to God also becomes important to you. That's the definition of an awakening right there. I just believe with all my gut feeling that God has a deeper plan of faith and consecration and joy and commitment, and the words just go on and on. God's plan for us is indescribable. And we cannot be lazy about our relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, people make commitments to the Lord in many different ways. I was listening to a song this week, and I played it on my little phone about 4 or 5 times, and then I started talking about it to people. The song was titled, "The Anchor Still Holds." Some of you know that song. And one of the stanzas talks about how that he had even held some of his hopes and dreams in his hand without knowing that they could or that they would fall through like grains of sand. Well, God knows all of that about you. God knows what's coming up in the future about you. And God wants you to have a preparation that fits you for that. Would you turn with me to Mark chapter 16? Mark 16, verses 19 and 20. I've referenced this scripture several times from the pulpit, that I hope God lets me live to be able to be part of the last day events in which the sick are raised to health by the ministry of prayer. Even the dead may be brought back to life. Who knows what's going to happen as signs of the end time? But it says this at the very, very end of Mark chapter 16. It says in verses 19 and 20, "So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, He was received up into heaven, and He sat down at the right hand of God. And then they went out and they preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through accompanying signs." You connect that verse with what Becky read in the scripture reading here out of the book of Acts. And I went through and read that chapter again last night. You know, that in itself, the day of Pentecost, was a great miracle. It brought an awakening to all those disciples that were taking part in it. And of all those people who were there and heard the ministry in their own language. I think I counted about 18 or 19 different 20 languages there that were spoken. That's what I'm speaking about, is this connectivity between the Holy Spirit and man, divinity and humanity connecting together, and the power of God overshadowing the immortality of man. And in that overshadowing, great and mighty miracles take place. That was a miracle there in Acts chapter 2. And as he was preaching and people came under conviction, they came to him and they said, "Look, Peter, what you are right. We've crucified the Messiah, the Son of God. We've not lived as we should. What now needs to take place?" And he told them two of the special ingredients for an awakening or a revival. He said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." That's pretty clear. Now, you know Satan was there. You know Satan wants to destroy anything that's good. So far, we've been able to pray him away from the meetings that we have coming up, but he's going to show up some way. And don't you show up as a devil, because we're praying that he's not here. What would you really like to have happen in your life? Now don't tell me nothing. I just believe that we're a team. I don't believe what I need is any different than what you need, or what Elder Garcia needs, or what the Hispanic church needs. What we want and what we need is a wonderful walk with the Lord Jesus Christ and the ability and the power to do what we know is right. Would you say amen? And God calls people. God calls people who've already, we had Becky up here a while ago, who's the most recent baptized member of our church. By the way, you know Kathy's planning on it too. We're going to get the whole family for God right here before this is over. The devil wants to kill what we're doing. The way to kill a revival is for you to just simply say, I don't want anything to do with it. And another way to kill revival is this attitude, well, I don't need any help, but so-and-so does. It's kind of like everybody else on the bench there with you needs a revival, but you don't. I'm begging you, as your friend, as your pastor, as somebody who does spiritual inventory in his own life and realizes he's not where he needs to be, I want this week of revival and preaching and praying to make me into more of what God wants me to be. The way I can kill that is to refuse the prompting of the Holy Spirit when he speaks to me. That's how you kill a revival. That's how you destroy a movement in the church. Please don't let it happen to you. I'd rather think of it more in terms of a resurrection to new life. God, let me be trusted to imitate Jesus. More about Jesus. That's the answer. That's what we need. That's what the song was written about that we're going to sing in our closing song. And I just simply make this appeal to you. We have an opportunity here during these meetings to connect with God. And if you choose, you can connect with Him. He will connect with you. Signs and wonders will follow. And so someday will be the word spoken, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter in."